Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neuro-healing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Kathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me as always, Daisy Papp from America. Hi Daisy.
Oh, I'm so pleased I'm not called Miss Yesterday Land. Hello, my dear. How are you down under? And
wonderful.
What's up your sleeves?
Wow. Today, I want to talk about blended families.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So they come in many shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. Primarily, I'm thinking about when two people are perhaps on their second go round and they're both bringing kids into the mix. That's probably the most common scenario of a blended family. But really, it encompasses most families because if you think about it, one of the children is yours, but the other one is not. Mm. And so that automatically makes it a blended family. So whether it's your marriage, your child's marriage or partnership or whatever it is, in almost every situation, we ended up with some sort of a blended family where people who did not grow up together have to learn to get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I would even go one step further because when, let's say, a couple meets and they choose to spend their life together, that's already blending families because they both already have different impacts, different conditioning. Maybe even when they're from the same cultural background or the same area, maybe same culture, maybe same traditions or similar traditions, maybe similar age groups. It's nevertheless potato or potato, tomato or tomato. Which way do you go and who is right? It goes back to, okay, tolerance and acceptance. Because actually, when I think that how you do it is wrong and you think the way how I do it is wrong, then actually we're both upset about the same thing that I don't accept your way and you don't accept my way. So we're both not very accepting and then therefore we have some fraction. It's not easy. I never said it's easy, but it can be beautiful. I had an interview the other day with a lady and she proudly shared with me that she has a blended family, that she has two children and her husband came with three children or the other way around. And they just get along wonderfully because they made very clear house rules and that's how they go along and that's how they do it. And she said, actually, now I have five children. Before I had two and now I have five. So I find it beautiful how she is handling it. And I know it's possible. I even know of a family, they have adopted children. Those who were really in hard situation, in hardship. What a blend that is. And the mother is just beautiful because she shares, she's doing her thing and she allows the children to experience and experiment. There are certain rules, but in between these rules, there's free play.
Yeah, interesting. And it's nice to hear a success story because so many people that I feel struggle with this and struggle with tolerance and acceptance. And perhaps that's part of their conditioning or they've had an upbringing that's been quite strong in some teachings. And so they're not prepared to let that go. I feel like there's always an opportunity to compromise. If you can try and see somebody else's point of view, it can give you an understanding of why they think that way or why they believe that. And I think that can get you a step closer to coming to some sort of agreement that you can both live with, which is important. If you're a blended family, you need to be able to live with it.
Something really stood out in what you said, and that was the word compromise. What is your definition of compromise?
For me, a compromise is coming to a middle ground where you've both got a little win. So it's enough of a win where you feel satisfied that you're being heard and understood and that the outcome is palatable.
Mm.
Now, it may not be perfect, it may not be what you wanted, but it's an agreement that everybody can live with. To me, that's what a compromise is. And I think it's an important tool when you're dealing with people who are very different and may hold very different views, have very different backgrounds, and perhaps are struggling to see another person's point of view. So for me, that's where I would say compromise is a good tool. I do feel like you've got something to say about that word, though.
I have a different view on compromises. To me, compromises are foul. I don't think that a compromise is ever going to bring peace long term because it's filling up someone's or several parties involved's resentment buckets. And I see it when I look at blended families. I see it almost like a company or a corporation because there also people from different backgrounds come together. They work together because let's face it, some people spend more time with their colleagues than with anyone else in their family. Huh? Besides sleeping. Hmm? And how can it successfully work? Is it really the compromise or is it that we have a common goal and we can agree upon that goal? You may peel the potatoes and I may peel the potatoes, but we want these fries somehow produced or the mashed potatoes. God, we want to have that on the table. So how we get there then is a question of details. And the question is really so important about the details. Oftentimes, I think people argue about things or are indecisive about things that are so clear. They're trying to call in a corporate meeting in a family that, let's say, is three people. And now it's a corporate meeting because it's such a big decision because some of them thinks that's how it needs to be done. And that might be exhausting for others. So how can we then make a compromise? Because you have a need to discuss it with me for 1 hour and I already know within 1 minute that how it can be done. I either then gift you my 1 hour and then I'm not filling up my resentment bucket. I give it freely because when I compromise, okay, I'm going to listen. Maybe then later on you listen to me too. Then I'm going to pump up. Maybe it's just me or the people as well in my environment. What do you think?
Yeah, I see it very differently. This is really interesting because I've always been taught that a compromise is a way for both people to have a win. And it's a like a meeting of the minds. It's a mutual understanding. That's what I believe a compromise to be. I don't believe it to be foul at all. Yeah, that's maybe the difference in our backgrounds or
possible.
I don't know why we see it so differently. However, I am always open to hearing the way you see things because I always find value in your experience. And you have probably worked with a lot of people that I haven't dealt with in my life. I'm respectful that you see it very differently. That's interesting to me. But for me, I think compromise is a very valuable tool when you're trying to get people to get along. And that might be at home in a blended family or at work in an office where everybody's really different. And I've certainly worked in lots of those circumstances mm-hmm. in business scenarios where I've had to work with people who, some of which have been very challenging to deal with. And so I've used those skills I believe I have around compromise to find an outcome that suits everybody. So, yeah, interesting.
In the past, I was on your side. I still am on your side, but I was seeing it as you do. I don't see it any longer the way I've seen it in the past. I believe that when I am willing to give this and you are willing to give that, and we meet, then it's a willingness, a mutual willingness. There's no compromise anymore. A compromise mean to me.
Is that not just a label? That's exactly what I'm saying a compromise is. And so I'm using that word and you're saying the same thing, but calling it something else.
Maybe I think the difference that I see, it's not okay, a little win. I allow you a little win and I allow myself a little win. That's the foul part for me. I think when we both agree, hey, like you and I, we really did almost 4 years ago, let's do this podcast. Okay, how are we going to do it? It's not okay, so now I'm going to give a little and you give a little. No, we both give all. We both give it all. That's again, like when it comes to, yeah, a relationship is 50-50. Bull manure. It's 100% and 100%. I give my 100% and you give your 100%. Same with the compromise. That's why the compromise to me is foul.
Okay, but how about a different scenario? Like America and Australia are 13 hours apart.
Yeah.
And so for this to work for both of us, we have to pick a time where it's not too late or too early for either one of us. Mm-hmm. And so we've settled on a specific time that works for us both.
Yes.
That is what I see to be a compromise. We've compromised and found a time that works for us both.
I do not see it as a compromise. I see it as a logical consequence of our both willingness. I can do morning, but I have traffic that might be, depending on the wind directions here on the islands, then in the audio recording as well. Therefore, it makes sense that we record when it is my time in the evening. Not because the wind stops blowing, but because the traffic is less. That could be blown here through my impact windows. I don't think that you were giving in a little, and I don't think that I am giving in a little. I think I'm giving it all, and I think you are giving it all.
Okay. Well, I've just looked up the word, and now I'm thinking that you're correct, because actually the definition says that it's an act where people make concessions, and that's not really how I think about it. That definition is saying that instead of both winning, we're both losing.
Exactly.
And so I don't agree with that. So
good.
There you go.
Voila.
Voila. And back to the title of the episode, Blended Families. So yeah, I think this is interesting, and it certainly in my life has been as a single mum where I've gone into a relationship and the other person has children. There is often a lot of difference in how we bring up our kids from person to person. And so I feel like that's one of the huge areas in blended families that people would have issues. So maybe we can give them some tools around coping with that.
Standards, values. When you agree upon the values and make them your standard, then you have your playground. That's it.
Well, I think that your new book is a tool that blended families could really use to their advantage, the 5+2 formula for life, is Daisy's new book, dear audience. If you didn't hear last episode, I was telling everyone about it. It's just been released. It is an extraction of the most important parts of her original book, the 5+2 formula for finding true love, which has obviously been written for adults. And Daisy has extrapolated the most important parts and rewritten it for ease of understanding for younger people. And so it's suitable for all ages, really, I'd say from school age upwards, because it is really easy to understand. It's really easy to implement. And it gives a set of standards that are a healthy way to live and a healthy way or a healthy standard to live by. And I believe standards that if we all took these on and we all lived by them, we would have a much better world. And that's what I want to see going forward, because right now we are in the process of changing the world and we need standards like these. So yes, please go grab that book. We'll put a link in the description, but it is an amazing tool, especially if you are in a blended family. Carry on, Daisy. I just had to share that with our audience.
I appreciate that. I truly do. Thank you. Well, let's go to soccer. Soccer is played around the world based on the same standard rules, period. If you want to play, you play with the rules. Otherwise, then comes the judge with a big whistle and...
Umpire. Umpire.
The judge.
Umpire is the guy with the whistle. It's not a judge.
It's not a judge. In German, yeah, it's a judge.
Judge is in a court. umpire.
Okay, fine. It's the umpire. But when you want to play soccer with other soccer players, then you play based on specific rules. And all who want to play soccer agree to the rules. Of course, some are trying to sneak here and there. Even world champions do that. Nevertheless, then comes the big whistle and maybe a penalty or a card, red or yellow, comes into vision. Now, the same is when it comes to families and blended families or the work family. So what are the rules? When we can agree upon those, then it becomes so easy. Hey, so this is the field of the soccer. You can also use tennis. So this is the field of the tennis court, and this is how we play. We don't play with four balls. We only play with one. And that's how it goes. So those who want to play by the rules, that's how simple it is. And I think it is becoming more and more easy to understand because it's so logical when people watch football or when people watch basketball. Even the audience gets so upset when somebody dares to break the rule. So imagine that if we'd apply that for families, and every family can choose their own standards, can choose their own values. Now, I think we can then see, okay, I have in addition this value too, but I find your values in your family already very attractive. So I think we can befriend one another. Let's be friends, family to family. But again, it's not about the tiny details. I think it is about the direction, therefore the value. For example, I bring it up over and over again, integrity. When there's integrity that includes so much already, that it doesn't matter how many people you blend together in one family, in one company, in a community, in a club. So again, it goes back to the values. And I think at the end of the day, it goes back to human values. And let's say everyone valued human values. The family can be 100 people or only 2 people or 5 people or 25 people. Easy to get along. And we can still disagree and respect.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of values, right? They're core beliefs, but that doesn't mean every little thing that you say is the right thing. And we do have a bit of a cliche for this one. Don't sweat the small stuff.
I agree, yes. Absolutely.
There's a cliche for everything, isn't there?
But I like that because it's really important because when we want, okay, to blend our families, now how do we do it? Okay, so what are the values that we all want to honor and live by? And I take care of me that I do the best that I live up to that standard and you do the best and then we meet there and then it becomes easy. It's not about the blend, it's about the how-to, I think.
Yeah, and this is why I believe that book is so important because it helps people with those base values. It gives them a starting point to really talk about and talk with their kids about because it's written in such a way that the kids can understand it and implement it themselves. It makes no difference that it's Daisy's book. The fact is that it's a great tool and I think everybody should have it. So do go into the description and grab yourself a copy. It is being shipped all over the world. And if Amazon doesn't happen to ship it to the country you're in, you can get a digital copy from daisypap.com. So there's no way to not be able to get it.
That's true. Yes, I agree. So I like to nevertheless circle back for one moment to the compromise. Why? So is it really about compromise then? Because I admit when it comes to standards, I do not compromise. Because I stick to them.
Yeah. Well, I think the important thing here is that everyone has a willingness to learn and behave accordingly with a set of values and standards. I think that willingness to be involved in that is probably the key for me.
That's it. And then let's see how we can have fun together and how we can solve challenges and how we can make life more beautiful.
Well, just one point. What do you do if someone's not willing?
Within the blend of the family?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put the softener away for a moment, okay? In the past, when we belonged to a tribe and we were not willing, then what happened? Exclusion.
Kicked out.
And that meant clear death. We are not living in that time and we are not living with these rules to survive as a tribe, maybe as an inspiring thought. I wonder, why do you not want to play along? You don't like the values? You don't like to feel valued? You don't like to be treated with values? What is it that holds you back? What is it that stands between you and the nature of humans to belong and to be around and to be with one another? What is it that prevents you from being one of us? What is it? Is it your need to be right? Or is it because your hurt is still so dominant that now you try to punish others by punishing yourself, to exclude yourself or make it difficult for them because you don't want them to feel good because you don't feel good? What is it? Look into you and those around these, help them see it. You can't fix it for them. You can live and lead by example. I had a conversation with a very interesting lady and her audience and a huge group of people. And they invited me to speak and I spoke about the 5+2 and I spoke about blending cultures, not families, but cultures. How can we get along? It's a global question. And again, I do truly believe that human values is the key. When we start promoting human values, what I do 24/7, most likely I'm sending signals while I'm sleeping. So not knowing maybe where it can be received. I truly believe that human values are the solution. Because when human values are valued and cherished and become the new standard, then there is no doubt in my mind that the majority of people will go along with it because it feels good. And when that becomes the nature, when that becomes the everyday habitual getting along, it's no longer about blending families. It's about getting along as the one human family. It's not about blending. It's about human values. So I think I could be wrong. Over the past decades, that's how I see it.
I agree. I think there are so many more things that we have in common than exist to divide us.
Yeah.
And that most of what divides us are artificial constructs. Mm-hmm. And we need to get back to what makes us similar, what we have in common. And having a set of values is certainly a giant piece of that, in my opinion. And I think that the world would be a better place if more people picked up on that and ran with it themselves. So we hope today's conversation has been inspiring and we hope that you keep sharing the podcast with your family, friends, colleagues. We do think that these are tools that everybody can benefit from. And as I mentioned, go grab that book, The 5+2 Formula for Life. And also, please support selfrecoding.com, our major sponsor. We so appreciate their help in staying on air and being able to bring you an episode every single week for, goodness, almost 4 years now. They help us deliver this to you so that you can benefit from our experience and hopefully be inspired by our stories and conversations. So that's it from us today on Blended Families. We'll be back next week with another, don't know what it will be, but it'll be an interesting topic for sure. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.